The Lord be with you. You know, I'm typically not a good morning kind of person because it always feels a little forced, but it's kind of a cold Monday, and so just humor me. I'm going to say good morning, and then with a robustness reply, okay? Good morning. That was a lot of fun. Thank you. Let us pray. Oh God, we are told that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Help us to see that through you we are made new. Our sins are forgiven and we are made new. In you we have hope. Encourage us also to view others as your new creation, that we might begin to let go of past grudges or hurts and look forward to renewed relationships. In your name we pray. Amen. Our chapel speaker for today is Kurt Anderson. Kurt is our head men's soccer coach. He is also an assistant baseball coach. And I'm going to read scripture, and after our first hymn, Kurt will have words for us. So our reading for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made himself to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
New beginnings. That's something most of us look forward to, and I've thought of a few examples. The J term marks the start of a new semester, a new course to be taken, new classmates to meet, and perhaps taking a professor for the first time. The sports seasons of baseball and softball will begin on February 1st, and along with it, all the high expectations of what that season might bring. We've also recently started, a month or so ago, a new church year with Advent, with Christmas falling along with the birth of our Savior, and now we're into the Epiphany season. There was a recent discovery of a Mayan calendar that suddenly shows it goes beyond 2012, thank goodness. The last example I'll mention is that 2 weeks ago, the year 2013 was us ushered in with the usual fanfare and celebration and all the hopes and dreams of what a new year might hold. Some here today probably made a New Year's resolution. Statistics show that over 60% of the American population occasionally makes this type of pledge to themselves. How about just as a straw poll here, if you want to raise your hand if you made a resolution in this last, on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? Okay. Because of our honor code here at St. Olaf, I won't ask you if you're still on course, but research shows that 71% of the resolution makers survive 2 weeks. At 6 months, it drops to 45%, and I'll leave it at that so as not to discourage anyone. Probably like you, I've been able to keep a few life-changing resolutions during my life, none of which were linked to the New Year's pledge. The last time I drank any alcohol besides communion wine was September of 1974. The last time I smoked a cigarette, May 1976. I've also kept a yearly pledge, reading the Bible from end to end, but I started that pledge beginning at Advent a few years ago. In our scripture lesson today, Paul tells us in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." How in the world did I become a new creation? Even when I arrived on the St. Olaf campus some 25 years ago, I didn't look like a new creation. My new creation began in July of 1950. It happened in Chicago, Illinois, at 318 East 74th Street. No, this isn't the address of Jackson Park Hospital where I was born, and July is not my birth month. This is the address of Salem Lutheran Church, and it is my month of baptism. As the Reverend Philip Johnson applied water to my teeny tiny head three times in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I became a new creation. At that precise moment where the Word and water were present, Kurt Anderson became a new creation. As the Apostle Paul proclaims in Romans 6, verse 4, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Wow, I'm a new creation. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm his. To paraphrase a Stevie Wonder hit. Now what? I'm a new saved creation in Christ. Maybe I should kick back, put my feet up, rest until the Lord takes me home or comes again. Perhaps the Bible's, God's Word, can give me some direction in my daily walk as to what to do in this in-between period. Let's see. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is, love your neighbors as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Boy, these two great commandments, which Christ says so precisely, outlines and encompasses the entire Christian walk that he asks of us. As I learned in confirmation, the first sentence, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind," covers the first table, or the commandments 1 through 3. While the second sentence, "Love your neighbor as yourself," covers 4 through 10. Yikes. It doesn't take much of a time to take an inventory of how I conduct myself on a daily basis to know that I fall way short and fail miserably at meeting these commandments. This only takes into account sins of commission and omission that I can recall, and excludes the ones that I can't. Now what? In the confession of our sins and the following absolution from them, God's Word is having its way with us, moving us to confess the truth about ourselves and our need for His forgiveness. Because of Jesus Christ, confession and absolution is a blessed, joyful, and happy exchange. As was read in the scripture lesson today in verse 21, "For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." What wonderful news for us that Christ has taken our sin upon Him and no works of ours are needed. As stated in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by the grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I'd like to close with a short quotation from Martin Luther from part of a larger quote titled, "The Good Ship Baptism Never Founders." "For the ship never founders, because, as I have said, it is God's ordinance and no device of our own. But it may happen that we slip and fall out of the ship. However, if anyone falls out, let him see to it that he swims up to it again and clings to it until he can come into it and sail on in it, as he had formerly began to do. Thus we see what a splendid thing baptism is. It snatches us from the jaws of the devil, makes us God's own, restrains and removes sin, and then daily strengthens the new man within us. It is and remains efficacious until we pass from this state of misery to eternal glory. For this reason, everyone should consider his baptism as his daily dress, to be worn constantly. Every day he should be found in the faith and its fruits, suppressing the old man and growing in the new. For if we want to be Christians, we must practice the work whereby we are Christians. But if anyone falls from baptismal grace, let him return to it. For as Christ, the mercy seat, does not withdraw from us or forbid us to come to him again, even though we sin, so all his treasures and gifts also remain with us. When therefore we will once receive the forgiveness of sins in baptism, it stays with us day by day as long as we live. That is, as long as we drag the old man about with us.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.